Society and rabbinic Jews despised their work and looked at them with disdain. People considered them heathen, did not allow them to serve as court witnesses, and refused to give them charity. They were often considered to be thieves, dishonest, and untrustworthy, and were under a rabbinic ban because they also were considered ceremonially unclean. So wrote David Levy in an article entitled A Night in the Fields. Of whom and about whom was Levy writing? Shepherds during the time of Christ. And yet, despite the unfavorable view many had of shepherds, it was to a group of shepherds that the announcement of the birth of the Messiah was made. And so we ask the question, why? Why did God choose a group of shepherds, and in particular, this particular group of shepherds that we read about, to be the initial recipients of the best news ever given to mankind? The good news that a Savior had been born in the city of David. As with Joseph and Mary, I would like to make several suggestions as to why God chose the shepherds. The first of these suggestions is this: the shepherds were working men. Verse 8, Luke chapter 2. Now they were in the same country, in the region around Bethlehem, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. This was the work of a shepherd. Shepherds lived outside, keeping watch over their flock night and day. A shepherd had to remain vigilant. Sheep have a tendency to wander off, and when they do, they can get into trouble. They can fall into a ravine or get caught in a crevice. Then, too, there are predators such as wolves that prey upon sheep. Sheep have to depend upon shepherds to protect them, since they have no way of protecting themselves. In referring to himself, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears." Such was the life and work of a shepherd. If a lion or a bear or a wolf came after the sheep, a shepherd would have to be ready and willing to defend them. This meant that at certain times, he would have to put his life on the line for his sheep. When David said that he had struck down lions and bears, I don't think he was bragging, as much as he was relating what he had to deal with as a shepherd and how God had prepared him to face Goliath. But in any regard, the work of a shepherd was not for the faint of heart. Shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night might conjure up a picture of men without a care in the world, sitting around a campfire, shooting the breeze, and eating s'mores. But in reality, the life and work of a shepherd was difficult and demanding and dangerous. The shepherds then were working men. Their work in a nutshell involved keeping watch over the flock they were responsible for. As we reflect on the work of shepherds, and in particular the work of the shepherds here in Luke chapter 2, there are a couple of points to consider. First of all, the work of the shepherds pointed to the future shepherding work of the Messiah, the one who was born on the night the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock. The son who was born to the Virgin Mary was destined to become the Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd who would watch over his flock by night and by day, the Good Shepherd who would make his sheep lie down in green pastures, the Good Shepherd who would lead his sheep beside still waters, the Good Shepherd who would restore the soul of his sheep, The good shepherd would lead his sheep in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The good shepherd who would walk with his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. The good shepherd who would never leave nor forsake his sheep. The good shepherd who would be willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The work of the shepherds then pointed to the future shepherding work of the Messiah as the good shepherd of the sheep. How fitting then that the announcement of Christ's birth was made to a group of shepherds. But then too, the work of the shepherds pointed to the future sacrificial work of the Messiah as the good shepherd of the sheep. The shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. What would eventually happen to that flock? Well, the sheep were destined to be sacrificed, to be killed. Some scholars, writes David Levy, speculate the sheep these particular shepherds watched were reserved for temple sacrifices, to be offered up as sacrifices. But even if that wasn't the case, the sheep were destined for slaughter. And so was Mary's lamb. 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah prophesied of the coming Messiah with these words, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Many years after the birth of the Messiah, John the Baptist, upon seeing Jesus coming toward him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In his letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said to the church, "Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. That is, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. In giving instructions for the first Passover, God said to Moses and Aaron, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. The people were to find a lamb without blemish and sacrifice it, and to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their homes. We don't need to find a lamb, do we? We don't need to find a lamb without blemish and sacrifice it, because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And his blood has been applied not to the doorposts and lintel of our houses, but to our hearts, cleansing us from all sin. The work of the shepherds pointed to the future sacrificial work of the Messiah as the good shepherd of the sheep. And again, how fitting that the birth of the Lamb who would take away the sins of the world was made to a group of shepherds. Well, there's also another suggestion that I would make as to why God chose these shepherds. The shepherds were welcoming men. Not only were they working men, but they were welcoming men. In this matter of being welcoming men, we see, first of all, that the shepherds welcomed the good news concerning the incarnation of the Son of God. Verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them," before the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" The incarnation, writes Paul, ends, defines the act wherein the eternal Son of God took to himself an additional nature, humanity, through the virgin birth. By that act, Christ did not cease to be God, but remains forever fully God and fully man. Two natures in one person. In John chapter 1, the Apostle John describes the incarnation in this way: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Well, we too must confess that God becoming a man and dwelling for a time on earth is a great and deep mystery. We can't fully understand it, nor can we fully explain the incarnation, but we can welcome it and rejoice in it as the shepherds did. Notice how the angel announced the incarnation to the shepherds. Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The one whose birth was being announced was and is Christ the Lord. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the King of Kings. "Ask of me," God the Father says to God the Son in Psalm 2, "ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Christ the Lord. The Lord. The sovereign Lord of glory. "There is born to you this day Christ the Lord. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." You will find Christ the Lord wrapped not only in swaddling cloth, but more importantly, wrapped as it were in human flesh. Based upon what the angel told them As the shepherds looked upon the baby lying in the manger, they must have been thinking, this is Christ the Lord. God has become a flesh and blood human being, and he's now dwelling among us. God is with us. The shepherds were welcoming men. They welcomed the good news concerning the incarnation. But then too, the shepherds welcomed the good news concerning the salvation the Savior would provide. The angel said to them, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. What did the shepherds need above all else? A Savior. One who could save them from their sins. What did the world need at that time above all else? A Savior. One who could save them from their sins. What do you and I need? A Savior. One who could save us from our sins. What does the world need today more than anything else? A Savior. One who can save them from their sins. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In announcing the birth of the Savior, the angel did bring good news of great joy. There can be no greater good news. A Savior was born in the city of David, and his name would be called Jesus, for he would save people from their sins. Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is salvation, Peter said, in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Immediately after the angel's announcement of the birth of the Savior, it says in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That is to say, there will be peace between God and all those who trust in the Savior, God's Son, to save them from their sins. In Romans 5, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He, God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might have peace with God, being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds were welcoming men. They welcomed the good news concerning the incarnation of the Lord of glory and the salvation he would bring to all people. In contrast, many of the Jewish religious leaders were not welcoming men. According to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 4, Herod, having gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, inquired of them where the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was to be born. And they said to him, Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. But they never went to Bethlehem. They never went to the city of David to see and acknowledge the one who had been born to save his people from their sins. Nor did they come to the Savior during his earthly ministry. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. What did the angel say to the shepherds? There is born to you in this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. How ironical, the one who had been born to save people from their sins, including the rulers, and who in fact was bearing their sins in his body on the cross, even as they scoffed and ridiculed him. There would be no peace on earth for them, no peace with God, nor would there be peace in the life to come. God made peace possible through the death of his Son on the cross. But people only come to know and possess that peace when they surrender their heart and life to the Savior. Salvation is a gift to be received, not a possession to be earned or bought. But as many as receive him, Jesus Christ, to them God gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. As Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In order to be saved, a person must be a welcoming person. He, she must welcome the good news concerning the incarnation of the Son of God and the salvation he provides to all who believe in him. And the shepherds were welcoming men, as we see here. And then thirdly, the shepherds were wise men. At Christmas time, we remember the wise men who came to Bethlehem and worshiped Christ. But they aren't the only wise men in the Christmas story. There were others, including the shepherds. We want to note, first of all, here that the shepherds were wise men in that they valued what they had been told. They didn't dismiss the angel's announcement. They didn't scoff at what they heard. They didn't set the announcement aside and forget about it. If we hear something and we don't think it's all that important, we tend to forget about it. We put it out of our mind or we dismiss it as having no merit or value. It's not worth remembering or holding on to. After the Babylonians had conquered the southern kingdom of Judah and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, the king of Babylon appointed a man by the name of Gedaliah to be governor over Judah. Not long after Gedaliah became governor, he was told about a plot to take his life. But he didn't believe those who told him of the plot. One of them, Johanan, said to Gedaliah, please let me go and strike down Ishmael, and no one will know it. Why should he take your life, so that all the Judeans who are gathered about you would be scattered, and the remnant of Judah would perish? But Gedaliah continued to refuse to believe that there was any truth to the rumor that his life was in danger. He said to Johanan, you shall not do this thing, for you are speaking falsely of Ishmael. Well, as it turned out, Johanan wasn't speaking falsely. Ishmael was plotting to take Gedaliah's life, and he succeeded in doing so. Gedaliah didn't value what he was told, and it cost him his life. If we value what we are told, if we consider it to be valuable, we don't dismiss it, but rather we believe it and act upon it. And this is what the shepherds did, and they were wise in doing so. In Proverbs 9, the writer of Proverbs states, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. The shepherds demonstrated that they were wise men, and they became even wiser as a result of hearing and heeding the angel's announcement. Notice in verse 15, it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Well, it was crunch time. The announcement had been made, the angels had come and gone. What would the shepherds do with the information they had received? Would they believe and act upon it, or would they dismiss it? Well, we read in verse 15 that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. They valued what they had been told, didn't they? So much so that they acted upon it. so much so that they told others about it. The angel's announcement was worth passing on. Indeed, there was a Savior born in the city of David. That's not only good news, it is valuable news. It is news that is a matter of life and death, a matter of heaven or hell. It is indeed worth passing on. The shepherds were wise men, and that they valued what they had been told. The shepherds were wise men also, in that they validated what they had been told. Notice again in verse 15, they said to one another, "Let us go and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found it as the angel had said. Is it wise to validate what we are told? Certainly. This is not to say that we should doubt everything we hear, but nor is it to say that we should be dyed-in-the-wool skeptics about everything we hear and are told. But at times, if it is possible to validate something, it is wise to do so. For the shepherds, it meant getting up and making a trip to Bethlehem. But it was worth the hassle. They were able to validate what they had been told. They found the baby lying in a manger. Indeed, a Savior had been born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And aren't we glad and thankful that the shepherds validated what they had been told? Now we can journey with the shepherds to Bethlehem and see in our mind's eye the baby lying in a manger. And once we have done that, we can journey to the cross and see the baby, now a grown man, the incarnate Son of God, giving his life on our behalf, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds were wise men in that they valued and validated what they had been told. And then fourthly, the shepherds were worshiping men. To begin with, they returned worshiping God, returned to their flock, to their work. It says in verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." The shepherds were involved in glorifying and praising God as they returned. Glorifying and praising God. That, in essence, is what worship is all about, isn't it? And that's worship, true and unadulterated worship. Jesus said to a Samaritan woman, "An hour is coming as now, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The shepherds, I believe, were true worshipers. God seeks for true worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And God found such worshipers in the shepherds who went to Bethlehem and returned. Notice here in verse 20, it says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. They were not glorifying and praising any man or any woman, not even the Virgin Mary. Their focus was on God and what he had done. And that is what true worship is all about. The focus is on God, who he is, and what he has done. The shepherds were worshiping men. They returned worshiping God, but also the shepherds remained worshipers of God. After the shepherds returned, we never hear or read about them anymore on the pages of Scripture. We don't know what happened to them, but I believe they remained worshipers. They continued worshiping God. They continued glorifying and praising God for the gift of his Son. And that, in essence, is what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Glorifying and praising God the Father for the gift of his Son. Glorifying and praising God the Son for coming into the world as a flesh and blood human being in order that he might die the death you and I deserved. The shepherds then were working men. They were welcoming men. They were wise men, and they were worshiping men. We also should be welcoming men and women, welcoming anew and afresh the good news concerning the incarnation of the Son of God and of the good news of the salvation he brings to all who trust in him. We should also be wise men and women, valuing and validating that which we have heard and continue to care concerning the word of God, and telling this good news to others. And we should be worshipers, glorifying and praising God for all that he has done in giving us the Savior, who is Christ the Lord.